Kai Umob, we here at the Sovereign Podcast would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, family, children and elders, past and present, on the land on which we meet today, Whadjuk Noongar Boodja.
It's a privilege to be standing on Noongar country, and we should all be proud to call Boorloo and the surrounding waters of the Derwal Yerrigan our home. Hey, Umob!
No,
we're
going to play together.
This girl.
I swear to God, I was going to go with you.
Okay. Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1, and then okay.
3, 2, 1.
Hiya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast,
a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Boorloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Yothu Indie, they're treaty playing.
Add to playlist.
I feel like I'm falling in love with you every day.
This is something that's not spoken about at all. As blackfellas navigating through uni,
I'm telling you, Mob, when I first met IJ, like, we could talk for hours.
On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode.
We are so excited to be here
for our first episode.
So exciting. Stop. We have been planning.
Plotting.
We have been plotting. We have been...
Everything. Meeting. Writing.
Mm-hmm,
brainstorming.
Mm-hmm. Been going to cafes and having little yarns.
Definitely. Two-hour FaceTimes.
Mm-hmm. Three-hour FaceTimes
when we should be studying.
Exactly.
Just so that we can be here today.
I'm so grateful that we have this opportunity to just spin some yarns.
Like, absolutely.
I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, Mob, when I first met IJ, we was on, like, we could talk for hours. We were literally sitting in class having our own little yarns while the tutor was at the front going...
Getting in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Telling us to shush.
Or we'd be giggling in the back and we'd be like...
The naughty kids. Oh, that's naughty. Us.
Literally us. And that was, what, a year ago?
The naughty kids of political science. Oh, that was a rough time.
Rough and good.
Yeah, brought us together.
I know.
Trauma bonded.
I love that. I was looking at Snapchat memories and I found one of us in class just giggling the entire time. I was like, we did no work. We was just...
Oh, that's why I dropped.
That's why... No, IJ left me.
I did. I'm so sorry. But anyways.
Yeah, we're getting off topic.
We are so excited to be here. This podcast is like our baby,
mm-hmm.
your sister, hopefully. Oof. We're hoping to talk about some current events, our current faves, exactly. Hope that you guys like get to know us, mm-hmm. and so that a lot of mob who are listening can feel represented and enjoy our show.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Your drive to work.
Or
whatever you're doing.
It's just on this podcast, like, we hope to entertain mob, spark some yarns, go into blackfella topics, make you laugh, and just, as you said, make you feel at home as sisters.
Definitely.
As sisters would do.
As people that are off country as well,
mm-hmm.
we definitely have each other and we recognise how important it is to exactly. be yarning and to be hearing, like, just those fun chats that you can have with mob.
Exactly.
So we hope to be that for people that might also be off country and away from home.
Exactly. Because we're both Kimberley and Midwest sister girls,
mm-hmm.
off home,
down
off
here in the south.
Down here in the south. And we just want mob to feel represented and visible as well. I sure feel I feel loved when I'm with you. I'm like,
yes,
I just feel like
love is real.
I know, soulmate right there. But that's just our intention with this. And it's amazing that I get to do it with one of the best.
No,
Miss
I'm
IJ
so glad.
Herself. But I don't know. I feel like this is something that we've both always wanted to do, that we've both wanted
Definitely.
To bring to the Boorloo scene as well. You've been in Boorloo for how long?
Since February last year.
Exactly.
So this is like almost 2 years for me.
2 years. And you are, I don't know how you do it.
Trying my best to make it by.
Aww.
Going home every chance I get.
Mm.
But I'm glad I have people, you know.
So glad people
home,
like
away
you.
From home.
So glad. IJ's like my family anyways.
Literally.
I don't know. We're just connected like that. We bond over that sort of stuff as well. Like, we always have our yarns about country, about what it means to us, how often we go back, and how, I don't know, just how happy we feel when we're around each other as well. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm falling in love with you every day.
Chill out.
Yeah, I know. I need to calm down. It's getting out of hand. I'm intrigued to know. What was your upbringing like? Because you lived in Broome.
Yes,
Yaru
I did.
Yaru country.
Well, I'm half Italian, so I was born in Adelaide. And then sad Whoa. Little me had to go to Broome. My parents actually tricked me. They said we were going on a holiday. No, they took us on a holiday and made us love Broome. And that's actually when they were like secretly moving our stuff to Broome. God. So we went back to Adelaide for like maybe just a term or so. And then they're like, oh, we're going back to Broome. And I'm like, so fun. I loved it last time. Then we walk into our house with my dad sitting there with like all our furniture and everything. And I was like,
oh my God.
And yeah, I had to start at St. Mary's College, little girl, first day at school, big green frogs waiting for me in the toilet.
Oh no.
That was the start of that. And I actually hated Broome for a vast majority of my childhood because I really was like clinging onto Adelaide. Yeah. And that's also because the only Aboriginals I knew in Adelaide was my brother, my sister and my dad. I didn't resonate with that part of myself too much.
Yeah.
But growing up in Broome, within a term or so, it was like I had been there forever. Mind you, my family, like all the staff there, so couldn't get away with anything. Like,
I love it.
Auntie,
I love how they treat
auntie
you
in
like
the
that.
Canteen, like Nana's an ATA, my other auntie's like the front
every
desk lady.
Person,
it's like you literally couldn't get away
person.
With anything.
Oh my God.
And then like you're sitting there and people's like, oh, who's your mom? And we're like talking and they're like, oh, you're my cousin. I claim you now. Everyone like get away. I claim her. She's my friend. You know, everyone wants the new kid. No, but I loved my upbringing in Broome. And coming down here, I definitely appreciate it more. We used to just like finish school at 2 and then just drive to the beach and just like lay there.
That was
enough
like the
for,
norm.
No, literally every day. Get some food and go lay at the beach. Go home. And then like babysit for extra cash. None of this 8 to 5.
Babysit?
None of this 8 to 5.
You was that was your first job.
Oh, girl, don't get me started on jobs. That's a whole another episode in itself.
Oh, my God.
I was working here, then, everywhere, just to, like,
you need
I don't even know.
Yeah, we need to
get some snacks to stash in my room.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, no, you good with kids, then?
I think babysitting actually grew a little hatred for me.
I'm best just control a little bit moment. Like,
but I do love my cousins. I miss them. I have 18. I'm
18
the oldest.
Cousins.
First cousins, yeah. And they all lived on my street.
So it was like...
It was like me, my nan, my auntie, my cousins, like all on the same street in a cul-de-sac. So yeah, that was like our cul-de-sac. So yeah, definitely miss them heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps. Even though some of them are little and they could not care less about me. I come back and they look at me sideways like, who is that? And I'm like, I literally wiped your bum when you were a baby. What are you talking about?
That's hilarious. Stop it. Like every time you talk about Broome, like your face just lights up and you always have some yarn to spit about
Broome. Definitely.
Like,
it's never boring.
It doesn't sound like it was boring. I'm jealous. I love how like your parents tricked you into moving to Broome. Made you love it. That's like
so
me. If only that was the case for me. Go to Broome for a holiday. And then next thing I know, move in there for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And as like a year two, I couldn't comprehend that meant. I didn't really know what it meant. And I didn't really realise like aeroplanes existed and I could go back to Adelaide if I wanted to. Like I was like, oh my God, my life is over. Like I don't know anyone. I hate
and
it.
And then within a term or two,
People bully me. My family bully me now because they're saying, look at you in Perth crying to go back home.
God.
And he was crying to get out of Broome. So it's funny how it works that way.
That's hilarious. That's definitely nothing I could relate to.
No.
In terms of growing up down south.
But I love your country. When you post photos of you just like chilling by the water, I'm like,
wow. Chilling by the water, she says. Chilling by the water. That's the only thing I could do.
Meditating.
The reason why I love water too much, because you grew up coastal ways.
Mm-hmm.
I am from the Midwest.
Ooh.
I'm from the desert.
Oh,
I go there and it's like, you know that scene in Lion King when Mufasa makes Simba look to like the elephant graveyard?
Yes, yes,
he's
yes.
He's like, don't go beyond
dusty.
This. Yeah. Literally that. I felt like, do not go beyond the Pride Lands. There I am.
Standing right there.
Standing right there. Beyond
oh
the Pride
God.
Lands. No, I'm making up. My country, so... I'm Yamaji Buddymaya. I didn't think we didn't say what mob we're from. We did not. But you know what? Okay, so IJ.
You get the gist.
IJ's from Broome.
Yeah, Broome and Dungu country, formerly known as Geeky Gorge. So if you've been calling it Geeky Gorge, let's start changing it to Dungu.
That's Dungu country.
That's the name we're using now. And you
I
need to go.
That.
It's so beautiful.
Go on to Broome, send me
no
photos.
No,
audacity.
Why don't we do like a tour each? You take me to your country and I'll take you to mine.
Easy. I've got you.
Deal.
I've got you. Mine's is like red dirt packed.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay.
I'm getting sick
right
of water.
But like it's the only reason why I find it cool is because you, when you're bored, you do the most wild activities.
Honest
to God,
that's
we
honest.
Do the most wild things
with
up
your
north.
Siblings too.
Oh my God.
Like of the people you bicker with, like when you're out there, that's all you got.
That's all you got. I hate my sister on a daily when we go up there. I'm like, yeah, you're my favorite person. You're my favorite person. No, but seriously, like there's nothing to do. But when we go up north, it's just so random. We do, like, we go back of utes, chasing emus. Tell me why. I never found marlu, or, sorry, kangaroos. Marlu. We go up there. I never find these creatures interesting until I go up there. I'm like, oof.
They're scary.
They're scary. Learn new things about them as well. But, like, again, I think it's so much more different. I did not grow up north. I wish I did. Photos of me as a kid on red dirt, and I'm like, oof, I cherish these because I love these. But I actually grew up down south. I grew up Wadandi country, Bunbury ways.
Yeah.
Bunbury, but Australand as well. Like, Australand's like a little suburb / coastal town off of Bunbury. I go back regularly. Like, that's my upbringing there. Again, it was technically country. Yes. It was just so much more different than Perth.
Yeah.
So I do call Perth my home now, but when I was younger, I just thought my whole entire life would be on Wadani country and, you know, going to the beach every weekend. I resonate a lot with the Midwest and down south because I've travelled to and fro.
That's so fair.
I think I've done most of WA apart from the Kimberley, yep. Which I'm so, like, devastated about. I just want to go. I just want to go.
We need to swap. We definitely do.
Honestly, I need to see some coastal areas. Oh,
around here, I am lost. You know all the ups?
Oh.
All the little ups? Yeah. I don't even know. Yeah, don't Dwelling know. Up, this and up.
The yelling up. Up.
Whatever. I'm lost. I don't know what the ups are. We don't have them back home.
We don't know.
So I'm lost. People tell me where they went on the weekend. I'm like, that's nice. Where's that
Dwelling Up?
I met some people from Esperance and I good enough thought it was just like, you know, good half an hour. Hey, they're like, oh, we just came from Esperance.
Seven-hour drive.
Oh, cool. But actually, recently I went to, for my work, I went to Kalbarri.
Oh, Kalbarri. Oh, my God. And you went to Nanda country. That's my country.
Yes. And I went to the Skywalk, scared to death. But I was like, you know what? I'm never going to see this again.
Exactly.
So I did the walk. And
stop. The Skywalk, the one where you got on a bridge.
Yeah. And that big bridge. I felt sick. But the scenery was awesome and weirdly reminded me of home. There's like a thing called Nature's Window as well. Yes. It's like a little rock.
Everyone,
like
sit in the middle, take a photo.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did the tourist thing. But it weirdly reminded me of home.
Is it because of colour?
I think the colour and also the dry kind of bushland I see. I was like, put some water in here and I'm back home. You know?
It felt weirdly
familiar.
Yeah.
But then again,
that's a nice feeling.
But then weirdly, we always talk about how country anywhere, regardless of if it's, you know, yours or not, can have a kind of comfort for you, I feel like.
It's that familiarity. I think, like, small things, such as the colours, you're just like, damn.
Yeah.
This is something I can get used to.
Yeah. It's so serene. It's so comforting. And just because obviously we work and live in the city, anything. I'll take a couple of trees and just, you know, soak up in that country vibe. Yeah,
take a little coffee, find some bush.
I can't with all these buildings and all this high rise and cars and freeways. I need like uninterrupted bush. Yeah, we best in the West, no doubt. North to the South,
all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say yeah. Uni.
The reason why we are here today.
The little... You say the word uni, my entire body shivers. Just tenses up. I hate it.
Goodbye.
And I have, like, not going to lie, I'm saying this with no shame right now, but I have literally an assignment due that I...
And she's here talking to me.
It's 3,000 words. And it's a report. It's one of those. It's those stupid reports. You know those reports that you have to find? Research reports. They say it's a research report.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the exemplars, it's a whole ass, like, dissertation. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I can't do this. What do you expect? I'm
Why
like
is there a 100 footnote?
Literally, with like, the anxiety just thinking about it. Uni is one of the many reasons why we are here.
The predominant reason.
The predominant
that
reason
got me out
we
of
are
my
here.
Hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you moved, unlike me though, I was schooled here last half of my life. Acting like I'm dead. Last half of my
old
life.
Old girl.
Last half of my life. Unlike me, you came here 1 year ago when I met IJ. We was at an orientation.
Yes.
IJ was wearing, you were wearing.
Oh, I was wearing an always was,
always will be shirt. I was like, I think the shirt I came up to you and I was like, I have that shirt.
No, you know what it was? We had this activity where you had to ask people
icebreakers. It was an icebreaker.
Yeah.
I was freaking, I remember, you know, before that activity, when the yoga was at the front, when the lady was at the front, she was like, let's do an activity. I was like, it better not be an icebreaker. And what was it?
An icebreaker.
It was an icebreaker.
Walk around and ask the questions to the people. But we ended up talking to each other and we realised we had the same major. Same, like, graduating class year. And started from there.
And then, you know what? I was like, after our little yarn, what was the question? We don't even remember. I don't think we talked about the question.
Probably
I was just
not.
Like, I was just like, who are you? And you're like, I'm IJ. You said your actual name, but then you're like, people call me IJ.
That's a secret.
Yeah, we're not. Yous are not allowed to know our government names. I was just so taken back because you was like, I'm just moved in.
My knees were shaking. No, because college was kind of rough. They were just like, yeah, your parent just drops you off. You have one day, like not even night, and like then your parent has to leave.
Mm.
Which obviously, like I'm 19 now. I'm like, yeah. Just like parents dropping you off, that's chill. But like my mum like flew.
Mm. You were 17.
To Perth. Yes, I was 17. My mum flew to Perth with me. We spent one day doing all the shopping and then she had to drop all the stuff off and just like leave me. That was rough. And like I remember sitting down in my room and just like it was so silent. It was such a foreign feeling because I'd grown up in such a loud house, always had someone around me.
Blackfella house.
To just sit down and have like it be silent. I was like, wow, this is actually what it's going to be like now. So yeah, I got
like
dressed.
You were exposed to that. The first thing you were exposed to was
basically
just, like,
it was a bit rough. Then yeah, the next day I got dressed, sent a little like photo in my mirror, like to my mum of my outfit. And I went to the Indigenous school and I saw Charlene and yeah, now we're here.
Now we're here. We made it this far. But that feeling of uni, I remember feeling, I didn't know how to feel. We was in the same class. Okay, no, fun fact. We was in the same law class for like the first week, second week, did not go
probably
the first week.
Oh.
And then the person was calling out the roll and they said your actual name. And I was like, that sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure someone told me their actual, there was a whole thing.
Yeah.
I look across the room and someone's making eye contact with me. I'm sitting with all these wallyballers.
Gutiers. That's how we go.
Gutiers. Like wallyballers. I'm sitting with all these wallyballers and I'm like, what? Like, what am I doing?
We should be together.
I should be sitting next to my sister girl.
The
there.
Rest was history. We were just yapping,
yarning.
Back of the class, meeting up before class.
Messaging each other. Do you want to go to today's class?
Are you here? Because if you're not here, I'm not going.
Yeah, no, we just had each other's backs after
absolutely.
That. But just the feeling. I just want to talk about that feeling. I feel like this is something that's not spoken about at all. As blackfellas navigating through uni, why do we feel, I don't know what it is. I feel like uni has given me an exposure to imposter syndrome.
Definitely.
I mean, so many things in my life have.
Absolutely. If it wasn't there before, uni will definitely give you some of that.
And it's inevitable that we have to go through this because
we're
in an environment that has...
Oh, absolutely.
That was not made for us.
Yeah.
That we were not allowed... you know how people say our ancestors weren't allowed... No,
my nan across the road.
My nan wasn't allowed to go to. My mum couldn't go to. It's such a weird feeling beforehand.
I know. Yeah, and I am mentor Aboriginal students and Torres Strait Islander students.
One of her jobs, keyword.
Sorry. In big private schools. And we're actually doing, our topic currently is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander history. And I was just explaining to them, like, everything around us in this school, in this institution, was imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Someone put their box, like, on us.
Exactly.
I said, do you guys realise that there were structures and hierarchies and everything in place before that, and someone came here and said, no, I'm just going to make mine better and impose that on you?
Exactly.
It's really just shoving us in a box that...
In a
bad, ugly, small box... That doesn't really suit us at all.
Not at all.
So, yeah, it is inevitable that we feel uncomfy or out of place or like minorities because we literally are. If I had never met you prior, I doubt I would have. Are you Aboriginal?
Neither.
You know?
Yeah. What mob are you from? No, that's 100% true. That box you're speaking of, that's such a like a good metaphor to use when describing this, like that feeling. It just feels like now we have to be a certain way. Now we have to go in an environment and act a certain way to code switch.
Oh, absolutely. It's survival.
It's survival.
It's less
100%.
Like trying to thrive and you know, like build ourselves up. We're actually just trying to get through what's been put in front of us.
We don't get to live in these situations. No. We have to survive in them.
And I genuinely think that, yeah, of course I can have like happy days at uni, but it's all surface level things. You know, the uni stuff they got you excited about in high school, like going for a coffee before class.
Yeah.
Like
looking cute,
cute outfit. Like it's a pretty campus. Like I can appreciate that and I can at a surface level enjoy that.
But deep down,
there's an uncomfortability and a bit of a like off feeling and always like a hesitant feeling. It's just not a comfort.
It's not. I think that's something we lack when it comes to uni. And it's especially since we know it's not made for us that we had to learn how to navigate to like not be the black person and
to be a palatable version of ourselves for the benefit of other people.
We can't take up space.
Yeah.
We can't take up space. Not too much space or else we get looked at.
Labeled.
Especially because we also study law. IJ, I don't think we like...
We didn't say that.
We didn't say that, obviously. Yeah. Not L-O-R-E.
L-A-W.
Law. We're doing a subject. We're doing a major that is just such a like...
It's working against us.
It's
It doesn't want us to be there.
It doesn't want us.
It's trying to boot us out. Mm. Well, I left that major, actually, just for like clarification. I've moved over to an LLB, which is just like a Bachelor of Laws.
Sorry.
So it's the same, but it's same premise of like, they don't want us though.
Yeah.
But we're there anyways.
We're sitting there. We're innocent bystanders there. Mm-hmm. I remember we yarned about this. Every single class, it's like, this one kid, oh, I'm been driving my daddy's car. Like, oh, my
like,
it's
where like, do you live? And they're like, oh, my mum bought me a house in Subi. And I'm like, oh,
actuals.
Oh, no, it's real.
It's actually true.
Like, and I felt, I also had the struggle with like being in lecture halls, like working my ass off to get everything done. And I had people behind me that are just at uni for the sake of saying to their parents, I'm doing something every day. They're like, you want to go to the Tav after this? Oh, I went to this on the weekend and I was with this girl. And I'm like, I wanted to snap my neck and be like, can you stop? Because some of us busted our asses to get here, like flew away from home to be sitting in this lecture hall right now, and you're actually just treating it like a joke.
Yeah.
That just makes me feel more uncomfortable too.
Exactly.
Because you're not with people who are like dedicated and want to be there and want to uplift everyone.
Exactly.
It's actually people just like fillers. Not to be rude, but like they're fillers.
They're
statistics and they're numbers that fill up the university because they're just doing like a major they don't really care about because their parents are like, well, you've graduated, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I saw that a lot. And it's that same mob that have like a car paid for and like, you know, a couple properties in Perth that they can just stop at. And they come in their high school cliques too, which was awful. All the mob that we met at uni, we were close because we were mob, not because we knew each other prior.
No, exactly.
So all the other mob, they came in their high school groups.
In their high school groups.
Packs.
Yeah.
Orientation week. I'm like, why is everyone already like in friend groups?
In friend groups.
I thought it was supposed to be like, make
wow,
friends.
Everyone's so friendly.
That's what I thought. Nah. And then I asked people, they're like, nah, we're like this crew from this school. And I was like,
oh, we all went to.
Oh, we didn't leave that behind. We didn't leave that in high school.
They named some like preppy like private school you've never heard of, and you're just like, oh yeah,
good for you, sis.
Yeah, good on you, whatever.
Like,
and you're just, it's just so awkward and disgusting to like think of that. I mean, I'm not gonna say I haven't made friends at uni, because I have.
Obviously, no, that's so true.
But it was so hard to get past that stage where everyone's just one way. Everyone comes from the same school.
Yeah. And people change. And then you get the whole drama of like people getting angry at you for changing. It's like we're supposed to grow up.
Exactly.
But I think for mob, the way we go in life, but also for mob that have had to travel away from home, you grow up faster.
You grow up faster. You take that one extra step than they do when it comes to growing up. But then also we have to take, think of it as a running race. They're cruising.
They're cruising. They're driving
in their car. We're going through hurdles.
They're driving in their car. We're jumping, running.
We are skipping, running, you know, holding on for dear life. And I think that just goes to show. I think that's why I find so much comfort when I see another black
girl. Oh, absolutely.
At uni, I'm like, you guys on the same boat as me.
Literally. And it doesn't even matter if you guys are like different people or in the real world, like wouldn't have gravitated towards each other. Like that commonality is enough to bind you together. And I have other friends that I've met at uni that are just for the sole reason that they are Aboriginal. And although we're different people, different interests, like we bond so heavily, because I can code switch and like talk like from back home, and just like, you know, we I have a mate and we watch black comedy and we kill ourselves laughing.
Oh,
whereas like if I did that with anyone else, like they just wouldn't pick up on the jokes
the joke,
and you know, the stereotypes and that we have, like, you know, the running jokes we have in like mobs, like cultured nowadays.
Exactly.
I think it's so precious
it
to
is,
have Aboriginal friends
so
in institutions like that. Uni, school, work, whatever it is.
Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say yeah.
How does it feel breaking that generational? I don't want to say curse. I feel like curse is the wrong word to use, but at the same time, it is a curse.
Yeah.
Because it's always been dawned on us that we cannot make it that far. I remember in high school, you know when you have to do those talks at the end of year 12? I was an ATAR kid. Again, it was that imposter syndrome thing. I was like, do I deserve to be in this position? Do I deserve to be doing
right
this?
Now, yeah.
When, because of the way I handled myself and the way I made myself appear, like a lot of teachers used to doubt my ability to go to uni. Or they'll be like, oh, you can't make it. They wouldn't say that, but that would imply. It was implied. They would imply it, where they'll be like, oh, so what are you doing about next year? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to uni. Mm-hmm. Like most of this mob there, like I'm going to uni.
Yeah, like do you need a plan just
in case? Do you have a backup?
Those kind of comments manifest.
And they give you like,
they make you feel awful.
Here's a brochure, like they're doing a little yarn about, you know, or they're doing a little talk about what you can do if you can't go to uni, like stuff like that. And so because of that, I felt like I needed to prove them wrong. So that's why I always believe breaking a generational curse, such as going to uni is literally powerful, revolutionary. Yeah. I know I look at my mum. My mum never got to complete her. She wanted to be an artist. So she wanted to do, not even an artist. She wanted to do some engineering, artsy.
Solid.
What is it called? Architecture? I don't know. See,
you've
I don't know.
You lost me.
I'm sorry. The only thing I know is law. I'm law, getting sick of it. She wanted to complete her degree. She couldn't because she was always doubted. Everyone was like, oh, you don't got enough money for that. What are you doing? I always believe that taking that extra step and going to uni has actually made me feel powerful. As sad as it is to be in a white institution, it just makes me feel like I'm doing something for mob and being a role model, or even just proving them wrong. I don't know who them is.
Yeah.
Like, we know who them is. We don't know a specific a group.
It's almost like the world. Well, I have a very staunch, amazing grandmother who actually she had kids very young. So in her later life, like mature age, went to Monash and is a child psychotherapist. She works at Black Dog Institute and that. So I'm not the first in my generations that I know of, like, to go to uni.
Yeah.
My dad's generation and his sisters, they didn't go. But I do feel empowered, like, knowing that my nan did it. And that's in Melbourne. So she was flying between Broome and Melbourne to do her degree. That does empower me, but in the same way, I do feel imposter syndrome, and it's tricky. And then you get people being like, maybe you just get hired as like the diversity hire because they only want cream of the crop in law, you know. And even if you're not that good, you're like the diversity hire or that cultural perspective. And I really have to tune those thoughts out. I don't want to get chosen and feel like it's because they're trying to fill some kind of quota with me, which is sick, to be honest.
It's disgusting.
I don't like that there are people in law school that actually
think that.
I think it honestly makes them feel better about themselves if I were to like take a place that they wanted. It's like a justification for them, you know, to not feel
like,
as horrible.
Now she got there because she black.
But I have to try and tell myself, even if I'm just passing, that's enough right now for all these other barriers that are in place for me to not even be here and to just drop out, to at least hand in my assessments, come to class, make friends, pass. Like, that's an achievement in itself. But I need to remind myself because it does get very tricky,
you know.
You're sitting in a big lecture hall with no other Aboriginal people, or a lot of the time not many people of colour, you know, being lectured by an older, you know, non-Indigenous person, even about Indigenous issues, you know, incarceration and then like a whole Indigenous unit I've got to take. There's like a non-Indigenous, like, you see
a non-Indigenous person always teaching us about stuff like this. Like, I did an Indigenous history unit, and it looked like it was catered for white mob as well. Like, it wasn't catered for me at all. Otherwise, I was answering every question. I remember like doing it because I wanted to see how they do it and why they do it. Not why, maybe just the how do they deliver it. First thing I picked up on, they don't have a warning, or they don't have like a trigger warning at the beginning to say that diseased Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people are being displayed on the screen. I remember thinking, is that because this is for white mob? Is this because they don't expect a black person to be sitting in there in that lecture? It was an awakening for me. I'm like, they don't cater to us mob, but they should be thinking about us first when it comes to stuff like this.
Or even if you're not presenting to an Indigenous crowd, you still need to make things culturally safe to normalize making education culturally safe in front of non-Indigenous people.
100%.
If you're educating non-Indigenous people and telling them, oh, you don't need a trigger warning, or they're looking at the content and it's not, you know, culturally appropriate, then they're going to pick up on that and think it's okay. So it shouldn't even be dependent on if you have an enrolled Aboriginal student or Torres Strait Islander student, you know? So that would have been uncomfy too, because I wasn't here, all these mob would have just been having this.
Imagine. Yeah, you're right. Imagine if I wasn't there and I didn't email that fella and said, hey, I didn't word it like this, obviously, but I was like,
what now?
What are you doing? If I didn't email him, the next week he wouldn't have been like, apologies for offending a lot of my Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander viewers.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have happened. These mob would have thought, because our assignments were mostly looking at stuff like that, having to see a lot of lot of confronting things, because it was Indigenous history.
Yeah.
Not even just one.
I don't know if you were there. I was with someone else who I met on orientation, and we went to this guy. He was a professor. He was non-Indigenous, and he made this video. This shoddy edited video. A PowerPoint, but like the photos move and there's like a galaxy in the back, and it was to Treaty by Yothu Yindi.
Yeah, I remember.
Is this real life? The most backwards photos. And it was just a treaty, and we were just like, I don't know. I don't know, just like a whirlwind of history. Just that was something. I hope they don't show that to the non-Indigenous audiences because they would take that and run.
They would think,
I just got my two-minute Aboriginal history lesson.
Yeah, Yothu Yindi, their treaty playing.
Add to playlist.
No, I remember that too. And I remember everyone just turning heads.
We were just looking at each other like, is this real life? Oh, is this a prank show?
With the cameras. And to think about that incident, I'm like, that was for blackfellas. That wasn't for...
I know.
He was like talking about his course and he was talking about what it meant for like so many people as well. He was like, a lot of people love my course because I show things like this. Press play.
I don't even know. I have no words. I locked that memory up. Oh my God, I've forgotten about that. But yeah, this unit I've got to take, the UC is non-Indigenous.
Mm.
But I will say, it's the first time they run it. It's a solid effort.
Mm. You can tell as well.
Well, it's a solid effort. They've employed the Centre for Aboriginal Studies workers to present. We had to do a cultural tour, actually, which was very good. I was like actually downing it, I will admit, because I was like, why it's should I be have the to norm. Do it? But I learned so much. Oh, it was around the Curtin campus. We learned about how you can eat the Geraldton wax.
No, and you...
I told Charlene this. He was like, if you see the light green tips of the Geraldton wax, you just you can eat it. And I was like, okay. And it's this lovely little lemon flavour. And I was at Kings Park with my non-Indigenous friends and I'm like eating the leaves and they're like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Kings Park has them tourists too.
What are you doing?
You was probably in the background of some tourist photos.
Probably munching out on the Geraldton wax. No, you can eat it. And she's like, if I go to hospital, like, you're going to have to drive me. I'm like, no, try it. And every time I walk past the Geraldton wax, I'm like, just try some. Look at me. So I will say that was good. But at the end of the day, it's got Indigenous staff employed as like tutors and assistants. But I'm like, amazing. I want that person to be the UC. Yeah. Like, I hope they can get whatever qualifications or experiences they need to become a UC, which is a unit coordinator for anyone who's a bit lost. But I did learn a lot. Obviously, there's always like room for improvement. And I actually swapped out of a tutorial and moved to one with an Indigenous tutor.
Oh, okay.
Just because I wanted that and I preferred that. And I love her. She's actually an Aboriginal lawyer, native title law.
No.
And I think she's so amazing, interesting. But I wonder what it would be like if I had been kept in the other tutorial. It might be a bit, thank you for your contribution. Oh, thank you for... Isaiah, do you want to share your perspective?
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't even move. And they're like, oh, did you go to say something, Isaiah? Didn't, actually.
The funniest for me is...
They do that. They're like,
any perspectives?
They look at
Charlene.
You. When they do that, and when they... Oh, no. You know what's worse, actually? It just came to my head. When they talk about, like, Noongar culture, and everyone in the class, they know you're black, they look at you and
snap
you're not
those necks,
Noongar.
You mob.
Yeah.
I got asked, I forgot to do, like, a welcome for this. I was on a camp here for a school thing and the woman goes, oh, we didn't arrange any welcomes, can you do a welcome for us? Sorry, little miss, I'm on Noongar country and I am not Noongar. I can acknowledge but I cannot welcome.
That's
and
like her offensive
heart was, her heart was broken. What, we can't have a welcome?
That's...
I said, yeah, you've got to actually prepare for those kinds
of things.
You had
to, yeah, no.
And you know
what?
What
the hell?
No, but even if you are Noongar, you can't just go up there welcoming people. Like, you need permission.
Yeah. That's, like, offensive not only to you, to Noongar people too.
It is. It's like, do you even care to, like, one Google search, and you'll find someone who can do a welcome for you. And you're asking me? I'm trying to eat my breakfast.
You're just
and you're telling me, can you do a welcome?
I welcome.
No, sis, maybe if we was all the way up north then. I couldn't even.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't even.
I know.
So I stood up there. I said, fine then. Put my breakfast down, stood up there and said, I'd like to acknowledge that I'm not Noongar and I would like to acknowledge that we are on Whadjuk on this fine breakfast morning.
On this fine breakfast morning.
I cannot speak on behalf of Noongar.
They expected you to do a whole corroboree up there.
Shut up. I was like, you're getting these couple of sentences and I'm sitting down.
Exactly.
She found me. She waited for me to start munching on my breakfast and she found the one that was a little tone darker than white.
Oh my God. I think when it comes to uni as well, like, I'm sorry to relate everything back to uni, but like what we're trying to say is the fact that we are in this environment expected to, I don't want to use the word conform, but we are expected to conform.
Oh yeah.
Expected to follow their ways. And then they have the audacity to pull things like this. How do you expect me to sit there quiet when you don't research, when you do things that are really culturally inappropriate, and I'm expected to just sit there and act like I didn't notice? And that gets on my last nerve, honestly. It does.
They're very powerful. Like, they're in charge of your degree.
It's
almost like test you, but if you like stand up and say something, it's like you put yourself at risk. Even if you keep your degree, it's like you'll be known
exactly
for that, or you'll be like watched for being outspoken and whatever. And it's like, I thought everyone was saying saying at uni, you can like be yourself, speak whatever you want to speak. You know, it's an open-minded, diverse kind of place. But I've come to learn
it's not as diverse as we think.
I came from a small town as well, so people were like hyping up uni, like I'm gonna find my mob. Not my mob. Like I'm gonna find like a good. Not my mob. Hey, you mob. Any good in Andy mob? Find like my friends that are meant to be my friends, and everyone's gonna have such an open mind. I'm like, obviously you do have those people, but that's not like the uni culture. It's not stock standard. And it's not like guaranteed, like people made it out to be.
That's what I assumed too before going to uni. You got your own people. You got your own.
They love a good photo op.
They love a photo op. I got stopped once, actually. This was recent. Quite conveniently. I got stopped. I'm acting like I was stopped by... No.
Paparazzi.
You know, asking me questions here, left, right and centre, turn my neck. No, at uni. Actually, no, it felt kind of like paparazzi. I was just in my class, minding my own business. I don't talk. I'm too shame in these classes because, I'm not going to lie, I do a unit in cinema classics. And I'm not going to lie, that's the biggest regret of my life. But I don't want to get into it. But sitting in that class and having to yarn about all these Eurocentric movies, does my head in. But I was just minding my own business, you know, doing my own thing. And then someone came up to me and they're like a head of like the newspaper at the uni or something. Ooh. Stopped me and was like, hey, because they know I'm black. I'm pretty sure they're an Instagram mutual as well.
And I'm over for here. Everyone who can't see her, she's wearing a jumper that says Sovereign Land, Aboriginal Land. You do it to yourself, Charlotte.
I actually do. I'm sitting with my clothing and gaps in every class. No. I think they just knew because I do have my little pinpoints here and there. Compared to last year at uni, I've learned to take up space and just speak.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I've overcome that fear of just saying, I don't want people staring at me if I'm going to talk black. I'm going to just do it anyways. I walk in that class late. I don't care. I run on black all the time. I sit at the back. All these mob shame. They're like, they want to use those big words. I'm over here going, I waste time on purpose.
Please do. Those tutorials are a waste.
I waste time on purpose because they're a waste for real. But anyways, so then this person came up to me and was like, hey, like we're doing a special edition on Indigenous culture. Would you like to have a say?
We did not follow you to this class. We did not. Look for you.
We did not.
Take a photo of you.
I did not sit with my binoculars there looking for you. But no, seriously, it was such a rehearsed offer as well. It was kind of like, so my magazine's about this and my newspaper article, like we just want to showcase the Indigenous part of this, and like they're just big words, and I'm just like, just say you just want a black person to
take your photo and let me go back to class.
Exactly. That's what I mean by paparazzi. Just like a tick a box, like just tell me you want to tick a box and leave, like literally. So I was just there like, oh okay, what was that again? Just being annoying, like what was that again? Like can you explain further? Can you just tell me? And then eventually they just ended up saying, we just want an Indigenous person in our edition of the magazine. And
I was like, snaps for honesty, but
I was
come
like,
on now.
Yeah, I know. I was like, then the shame. Honest. I was like, I'll think about it. And then did not show up to that class. That's why it's not my favorite class, but did not show up to that class again. I think it just goes to show that we are there sometimes to tick a box. For these uni mob, to tick a box, absolutely. To be on the brochure.
Helps like, their statistic.
Exactly. To smile and wave.
It's kind of weird though, because it helps them for us to do well and graduate. But then again, there's so many barriers in place for us to do that. It's like we're working against ourselves and they're working against themselves as well.
Yeah. Describe that. I'm sorry.
Hard. I don't know. It's so hard to do a whole arts degree and a JD as an Indigenous person, but it would help them to have more Indigenous JD graduates. So why wouldn't you make it easier? We are a statistic. Claps to them for marketing.
I know.
I was back home. I was back home and they took me out to dinner.
Oh, what?
They took me out to dinner.
Who did?
At the university. And they took all the Aboriginal students from like Broome Senior High School and my high school to a dinner at like this hotel just to like talk to us, meet us, you know, let us ask questions about the courses and that. They flew us for Aspire Camp, which is like you live at college for like a week. Yeah, I will say, you know, I know the intentions aren't great, but like I got a good dinner from that.
Yeah.
Good marketing. True. I was in high school walking around with like merch, you know, like the shirts, the pens, the like phone cases, like good for them, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very strategic. They're good at what they do.
They're smart for marketing.
No, they are. They're good at what they do. Admit. And they're good at like making connections with you and catching back up with you. Yeah. And like, I'd be getting emails like, what are you up to in year 12?
Oh, like that mentor they give you.
Yeah, they pair you up. They get your email.
Yeah.
So they're always checking up on you, and it might be like a subconscious thing, so you keep that uni like in the back of your mind because someone's always like checking up on you. I mean, bad for us, good for them.
Bad for us, good for them.
Mm. Oi, we're on to you.
Now that you say that.
We know what you're doing.
It's a bit, yeah, it's like undertones of just, like, you could just tell. Stop. That, like, opens my mind a bit more. Opens my mind a little bit more. And why do they bend their backs for us?
Literally.
They
to
go,
get there.
To get there.
To get there.
And it's just like,
and then once we're there, it's like,
but okay. Yeah, babes, that was the uni yarn we wanted to spin, yeah. Because we are both university students studying a Bachelor's of Law for you. Mm-hmm. I'm still second year. I've made grinding. It this far. I can't give up now. I cannot. Is this a sign? Over any minor inconvenience, by the way. My tutor doesn't email me back. I'm like, it's a sign. I've got to leave.
Sorry.
But I just think I'm proud of us. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
No, stop. No, I'm proud of you. No, like, you came here a year ago, a little shy IJ. Just the first time I met you, I was like, you know, I feel like this is my sister for life. Mm. And then I saw you in that class again. And even though we were pulling the piss the entire time, we've got yarns for that.
Yeah, we do.
We have yarns for that. It was still amazing to see another Yogini, as Buddy Mum Mob say. We say another sister to be sitting in the same room as me, on the same boat as me, and someone I could connect with over the course of a year. Or almost two. It's life-changing. It's precious. I cherish you. And I'm proud of how far you've come and how many times you've stood up for yourself. As sad as that is to say, sometimes I'm like, we don't need to be strong. We need to be safe. But when we overcome certain things in our lives, we're like, we need to give ourselves credit.
Yeah.
And we need to shove it in other people's faces. But it's not in our nature, obviously.
No.
But I don't know. Like, I'm just really proud of the choices you have made.
I'm proud of you. I don't know how you stayed there without me.
Oh, girl. Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say yeah. Okay, so our next segment. Okay, I give credits to IJ for coming up with this. I think this is a reason why we're called Sovereign.
Maybe.
It was like
we couldn't ignore that pun.
So
We couldn't. After we've said it.
Exactly. And we don't have tea. We have coffee.
No coffee drinkers, unfortunately. Like,
what do you have today?
Iced oat latte always.
You know what?
Might I add something that's out for me? Absolutely out. If I'm getting an iced drink, please don't give it to me in like a mug cup. It feels wrong.
My
brain is confused.
You need a straw.
Why am I drinking from like a mug lid and there's something cold going in my mouth? It really bugs me. And at uni, they do it all the time. It's like, give me a dome lid and a straw. Mm,
exactly.
Please.
I mean, obviously sustainability and we need to think about those factors, but I don't know.
This lid ain't even recyclable.
It's not. And like, it trips me out because I still, like, when you pick it up, I hear the ice like
clink, sloshing around.
I'm like, what is she drinking?
Just as a PSA, it's out for me. I'm sorry. Goodbye. It just breaks my heart. No. I'm getting excited to sip my straw, you know, coffee, and then I'm just like, what is that, a mug with iced coffee in it?
That is shouldn't be
for
a thing.
Imagine if you got your little iced matcha and it was in a coffee mug.
Yeah, ew.
It's wrong.
I've never had that done before, and I don't want to.
I'm tempted to, like, just rip off the lid and, like, bring my own straw next time.
You might as well.
I
can't. Yeah, now I'm going to think about that every time.
I know. I think about it all the time, because for some reason at uni they don't do, sustainability reasons, but...
Not even paper straws?
No, because they have these lids, these little... sippy lids. Baby sippy lids.
Yeah, no, I'm paying attention
anyways, to that. That's the coffee chat.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is
Sovereign tea.
And that's Sovereign, T-E-A. Sovereign tea. Just, I know the pun's not fun when you have to clarify
exactly,
it, but
I know.
It's Sovereign tea, okay?
Yeah, because, like, you know the actual
sovereign,
word, Sovereign tea.
Sovereign,
like,
the podcast. Yeah, do you get it? Do you get it?
If you don't understand
get with it,
then, yeah.
Get with
yeah,
it or don't.
Fine. Yeah,
it's,
with
a,
it or don't.
It's a segment that we're going to do on each episode, just about things that are either, like, currently happening news-wise or social media-wise or things that are currently happening in our lives that we think might be good to bring up in our relevant. Sovereignty segment.
Exactly. Oh, you described that so well.
Why, thank you.
Sister girl has
this. This radio setup is getting me...
I know, low-key.
Getting me in a radio.
I'm so tempted to just whisper and do ASMR. Sovereignty. So I think today's sovereignty, we are centering it on fashion and art. You're my fashion icon.
IJ
is wearing New Balances Nike socks.
No, stop.
Freaking a beautiful khaki skirt and a white top. Oh my, I'm so jealous. I'm over here with my...
Charlene is a Clothing the Gap model, guys, if you didn't know. She's also a hand model, neck model, jewelry model.
Oh.
Seriously.
She, look at her.
She would be
up.
Beeping in the metal detector.
Nah, get
like 100 times.
Out.
She's just so always decked out.
You know, the first thing I said to RJ when she was here, I was like, rings? You didn't tell me where you got them from.
Boxing over rings. Not like, those kind of rings.
No.
But rings on your hand. Rings
sorry,
on your
rings
hand.
On her hand because I'm a jewel. I love.
Don't be thinking rude.
Yeah, come on now. She had like, oh, you're blinged out today. I was jealous.
We're different styles. Charlene Converse are iconic for Charlene.
Yeah, I need to wear Converses.
They match her so well, though.
Stop it.
We have very different clothing aesthetics.
We do.
No, but to be honest, you wake up and choose how you're going to go.
No, I don't.
Yes, I do.
I don't. I wake up and choose how I'm going to go. this girl saying that, I've been wearing this jumper for 3 days.
No.
Despite you having me in a chokehold with your fashion recently, mm-hmm. I've been in a chokehold with Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you have been seeing all these staunch models
mm-hmm.
walking
absolutely.
With the most amazing pieces.
Yes. I actually saw that you follow her. Her Instagram handle is Cassie Black.
Yes.
Model. A beautiful, mind you.
She is.
And she was grinding. I was looking at her story. She was working in like so many shows. Must have been back to back to back to back. I was like, good on you.
Good on her. As she should.
And I think she actually was in like a
Amy ad. Is that
what?
Did you see that? No. She was in an insurance ad and it was so seamlessly done. I was like, is that Cassie Black?
No,
she was. I was watching footy once and then that ad came on and I was like, oh my God, is that Cassie Black?
Well, I like that she doesn't have to exclusively just be like Melbourne Fashion Week. There's more opportunity.
So many.
Love that. I think it might have been her or someone else was in like, it was like a room and they had models posing, like just posing. It wasn't walking. They were just like, they were almost like art and people could come and look at what was on them because it was like a woven piece.
I saw that.
And I thought that was really cool.
Oh
kind of.
Oh my God.
I was like, wow.
Wow. We're really going all out.
We are. I thought that's really interesting because to be honest, fashion is like worn art. We did have a yarn about like Aboriginal models, Aboriginal fashion.
Yes.
It's like there's obviously a time and a place when we need Aboriginal people to be modelling clothes that is like made by Aboriginal artists or for Aboriginal people, you know, our traditional pieces, our woven pieces. But we obviously love to see more Aboriginal models in just like typical business wear, I don't know, high fashion runways as well.
Just like heels and a dress.
Absolutely. That is representation.
That
you
is.
Know?
Seamlessly
we
done.
There's representation in the sense that we have Aboriginal models wearing Aboriginal art and Aboriginal fashion, but actually having representation means even in like non-Aboriginal things, we have Aboriginal people and they're not like the Aboriginal model.
Yeah.
They're just part of the modelling cast.
1,000%.
Like, 1,000%. I feel like that's representation. But there's obviously a time and a place where it is appropriate, most appropriate for an Aboriginal person to wear certain pieces that were made, you know?
Shame job saying this. I was not paying
attention
to any
that
other
was me.
Brand,
that
like
was
anything
me.
Else.
I was just following the Aboriginal
model,
me too. Literally.
I was like, oh my God. What?
Well, that's where we feel like most intrigued, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they
carry Melbourne Fashion Week.
They're so beautiful and I'm less in it for the fashion, more in it to see the models and see
such
the clothing.
Such a blessing to see.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Representation was amazing. Seeing everything. It was just one of those things where you look at you're like, wow, we've come so far and we're actually paying tribute to all these beautiful Aboriginal artists and Aboriginal designers.
On these typically white stages.
And
they've got, black models from across Australia.
Walking.
In front of people who own Vogue and who own all these institutions and these high fashion brands that like consistently excluded Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. That's deadly. We appreciate that. That's so deadly.
We are all for that. But
absolutely.
When it comes to the artistic side of things, don't you notice like a recurring theme?
More so in like commercial like branding.
Definitely.
I think high fashion is different as well because that's like one designer who's got their own vision and goals.
Yeah.
But we've definitely seen like a reoccurring pattern of this like contemporary Aboriginal art being the most popular kind of art. But where we have a trouble with that is because we hope people don't take that and think
that's all Aboriginal art is. That's a generalised form of our art.
And we see a lot of the nowadays like people doing the contemporary like pastel colours, dot painting, which is absolutely beautiful. I am a consumer, but I do think if you are misinformed and don't realise that's just one tiny part of Aboriginal art, some people can take that and think that that's their like contribution to appreciating culture.
You know what I had to explain the other day? Sorry, I keep linking it back to like experiences. This is the norm. Go through
every
this
day.
Every day. One of my closest friends, they were just asking, like they're non-Indigenous, they were asking me, Char, like tell me about Aboriginal art. And I was like, whoa, where do you want to start?
Oh.
There's like...
We can start at the dawn of time
we can start
like.
Exactly. Not that I know everything, but I was explaining to them how we have different styles of art.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they assume dot painting... That's it.
Oh,
but
for
dog
real.
Painting.
That's specific region.
That's a specific region. Yeah. And art in itself, because it's so integral to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own ways of doing it. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to be gatekeepers of knowledge, but we kind of have to be when it comes to art. It's when
it's
we
precious.
See it. Exactly. It's when we see it on like bed sheets. Mm-hmm. And I just seeing it on that as well. It's like, yes, please, we need to see more of these.
Yeah.
But why is it always a one contemporary style of art that fits a certain standard for people to look at and be like, that's
yeah.
art.
But in saying that, it's like different style of art that wasn't, you know, with this choice of colours or with this kind of like style, would it have been picked up and promoted in the same way? They follow the same kind of theme. And they're all beautiful and they're all individual. To that artist, but it's like there's no diversity between what all these big brands are picking up.
Exactly.
They're picking up the same kind of thing. You know, maybe changing their colours from like, you know, less dusty or primary to more pastel.
To more pastel.
You know, or making it more symmetrical because that's pleasing to like the commercial eye.
Yes.
Even though traditionally, like we're not focusing on symmetry and being perfect.
Exactly.
It wasn't even like, oh, I messed up, let me redo it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is our songline, this is our story, like we're putting it out there.
Yeah.
It's not even always supposed to be beautiful, but it's supposed to be meaningful.
It's meant to be mean. It's more about meaning than appeal.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people forget that. Artists, they do adapt to that standard. Not generalizing. We could be wrong. Maybe there's artists out there who do it because they want to do it.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Artists out there who want to make it a certain way because it's their brand. It's like what they are known for. I don't want people to think that's all we have to offer. It's all we have.
Yeah. I actually wrote a list in my phone when we were thinking about this of some places that might be worth checking out that did it well. Us being here and having this podcast is representation as well.
It is.
So we hope you enjoyed our podcast episode, our first podcast episode. It was wonderful to have this chat with you, Charlene. Have a great day, whoever's listening.
Nah, for real. It's been amazing. I'm so glad I get to do it with my sister girl. And yeah.
Stay tuned. There's so much more to come. We have so much ideas.
Yeah. The Sovereign Podcast here. Got loads coming.
Stay excited.
Coming. But yeah, girl. Catch you soon.
Up.
Yeah. See ya.
See you, mob. That's why we.
You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Cole Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker.
Our artwork is by my sis Lavinia Nidolia McKenna.
Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna. Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.